today is Tuesday, December 18th. On this day, Lord of the Rings was released, and it's 1 week left to do your Christmas shopping. Whichever one you're more excited about is the intro you can choose. Choose your own adventure this week.
Was that mass market in the beginning?
What, Lord of the Rings?
Yeah,
those were big releases. I don't think Fellowship was as much, but like the subsequent movies were.
Oh, movie?
Yeah, the movies.
Oh, you're not.
The movies were released on the 18th.
I'm talking about the book. Well, of course the movies were.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the book came out this
no.
time.
No. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I
did
don't
the first so. Lord of the Rings, like, he didn't have any hype before the first book, did he?
No, he was just known in academic circles because he did, like, translations of old texts and stuff. But he
well,
became a beloved author.
It's funny that you mention old texts.
Ah, good segue.
Ajit Pai's FCC gives carriers the option to block text messages. So this is a reason for this is to cut down on spam.
Is it, though?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is an opportunity for abuse here because the carriers could charge commercial parties for the option to be able to text message people, even if text message people recipients want messages from commercial entities.
This we talked about this, I don't know, it was last week or the week before, but Twilio was the company who was fighting against this. So this is the old Title I, Title II debate, just applied to text messaging. And where they've landed is Title I. The carrier can stop carrying Twilio's text messages. Some people probably like that, because Twilio is essentially marketing spam, right?
Yeah. I mean,
basically, you do sign up for it, though. But to give the carriers complete control seems a little dangerous.
Well, replace text messages with phone calls. What if you had to pay extra
to get all your phone calls?
To receive, like, what if you had to pay the carrier for the privilege of calling somebody's phone number?
You do.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of do.
It's known as phone service.
Well, but you don't have to pay the recipient.
Pay per, yeah.
Like, so, like, if I'm on AT&T and I'm calling somebody on Verizon, I don't have to pay Verizon.
It's probably not good, although it probably will do the argument that, I mean, it will cut down on spam. That'll be true. But it might cut a little too much healthy flesh along the way.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
we'll see. Remains to be seen. And another interesting thing that the FCC wants to do is tax big businesses that use the internet. We're talking about Netflix, Facebook, Google. And you might be thinking, oh, you know, that sounds pretty good. You know, those are giant companies. A lot of people say they're monopolies. Maybe we should tax them a little more. But then you find out what they're going to do with the money.
The FCC panel wants to give that money back to ISPs. This doesn't make any damn sense.
Wait a minute.
Like, what? I don't understand.
For rural broadband,
but
you know.
How does this make any sense?
They'll totally use it for the right thing this time.
You
need to trust them, Wendell.
The Ars Technica article like tries to break it down as like infrastructure costs, but I mean, haven't we already beaten that horse into like it's got to be like emitting X-rays at this point?
Listen, they're gonna do it this time. You need to stop doubting. They're totally not gonna waste that money. They would never do such a thing.
They totally haven't taken billions of taxpayer dollars to build out their infrastructure already.
So this is the Republican side of the FCC who's championing this, of course. You know, they're very industry friendly. And they're saying, yeah, we totally can get that. Because remember they did the big rural initiative a couple weeks ago? They pledged we have to do more. And the answer of doing more is to take money from, you know, one giant entity and give it to the giant entities that are languishing.
But, like, you can't.
Oh, yes, they can.
That's like, we need to tax Nestle and give the money that we get from Nestle to your local water company. That's like, what is that? Well, it's like, well, they both sell beverages.
That's not even a good analogy because Verizon is not a local water company.
Yeah.
It's another giant evil monopoly.
Yeah.
It's just the one that has put these politicians in power. The other thing that the FCC talked about in the big rural, commitment statement was the map. They talked about the broadband map, and they said, you know what? We're really going to have to take a look at that map. But it's going to take a long time and a lot of resources. We're going to need a lot of your money.
This is the 4G wireless coverage map.
But it turns out some smaller, it was a rural broadband initiative or something like that. They got it done pretty cheaply and efficiently, and they've reported their findings.
Yeah, so Ars Technica has the article, at least one major carrier lied about its 4G coverage, an FCC review has found. Verizon was accused of filing false 4G coverage maps, triggering an investigation. So the FCC has been very careful not to single out Verizon. I wonder why.
It's almost like they have ties to Verizon or something.
I see. Wait, who used to work at Verizon?
Was that? That was a Jeep Pie. Oh, he used God. To work at Verizon. I wonder why they won't single out Verizon.
I'm sensing a connection.
Sensing. The aura is very yellow.
My corruption sense is tingling.
That's what color corruption is yellow.
Of course, also contributing to that story was everybody's favorite reporter, Captain Obvious. Because everybody knows that the maps are garbage. You know, I mean, we've been to rural places and you don't get any service.
Eastern Kentucky's a joke.
Yeah, it really
is. But it's covered.
I wonder if some of the... I wonder, because some of the smaller ISPs were negatively impacted directly in terms of funding, because there are some ISPs that get incentives from the federal government for servicing areas that literally nobody else will service. And because these larger carriers claimed, no, we built out our service and we cover those areas a little bit more, when they don't, it's impacted the amount of money those smaller carriers receive. I wonder if that's going to open up these carriers that lied about it to federal lawsuits over that money. It's going to be interesting.
I don't think it'll work out for them.
Yeah.
Well, California is known as the land of maybe sometimes crazy taxes. They like to tax things. They like to, you know, say that something is
cancerous,
bad for the environment, and tax it hard. Or they like to dream up these crazy social programs, one of which is saying that low-income people need mobile phones. But how do you pay for it?
This article on the Hill is just, it's terrible. California considers text tax to fund cell service for low-income residents. And so, but text messages are like not even a thing anymore. Like no one cares. No one cares about text messages. Are they going to tax Twitter or WhatsApp?
Well, I was going to say, wouldn't this just mean like people would stop using text entirely and then just move to apps?
Like, yeah. Well, they would do something like WhatsApp, yeah. Which uses data instead of text messaging.
Yeah.
Now, they're a little behind the times here.
We need a 1 cent text stamp.
Now, they did talk about...
It used to cost 10 cents a piece.
But to counter what you're saying, if you dig into it a little bit, they actually, the way they're presenting it isn't a per text tax. It's just a monthly fee.
Just on the capability.
So it's just like, if your phone has text messaging, which they're not going to let you turn off, you pay this amount.
Don't they already collect a bunch of fees that they give directly to the industry?
Well, remember, that's the... was it Comcast where they didn't include the fees in their monthly bill and got busted for false advertising?
Yeah.
So, of course, yeah, there's a bunch. it affects your bill so much that caused that lawsuit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And speaking of Comcast, maybe a little David versus Goliath moment here where Comcast, it was Charlemont, Massachusetts, has stood up against the giant and landed one right between the eyes.
The Charlemont people become Charlemagne. I don't know that. I don't know. Comcast has rejected Comcast has been rejected by that small town. The residents have voted for municipal fiber instead, according to this Ars Technica article. There's actually a lot of detail in this article. It talks about the specific proposal received from Comcast, which the city was going to have to pay almost $500,000 over a period of like 10 years for the privilege of having Comcast. And then the city would have no control over prices, fees, what the subscribers were going to pay, etc. The only thing that Comcast promised in the pro column when the town broke down was that they could probably do a 15 megabit low cost option for some of the subscribers. So that the town ran the numbers and they're like, well, hell, we can build the entire thing for only $1.5 million and offer all of the services, programming, the whole nine yards. And if only 40% of the residents take up that service at $79 a month, then it's going to be cash flow neutral for the taxpayers.
And that's how they said it. They said, well, hail.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that
in Massachusetts,
the 40% one was where it was going to cost $100
or 79 or something like that, or 99. It's
79 was the higher percentage,
and then 99 was if they get a lower adoption rate.
40%. Yeah. So I think it might cost as much as $2 million though, but that was before they were taking into account that they would get revenue from it.
Yeah.
At the 80% mark, they broke completely even. Yeah. And everybody got gigabit.
Yeah.
For $80 a month.
Only $80 a month. How many people in America have a $200 a month communications bill? I mean, quite a lot, especially in rural areas.
I tested the speed at my new house finally, and I was delighted then I'm still getting 125. Delighted, let me tell you. I was worried.
You're not even that far out, really.
No.
I mean, kind of, but not really.
Well, we've talked a lot about the border searches of electronics. They can, without any sort of warrant or reason to suspect you, really, no one knows exactly what the guidelines are because they've been redacted. But they can search your stuff. They can make copies of whatever they want, and they can upload it to their servers. There are some rules that they're supposed to follow, but guess what?
The rules are redacted. Gizmodo, they sort of poke fun at everything being redacted, but border agents fail to delete personal data of travelers after electronic searches, a watchdog has said. So this is apparently a mess. The Customs and Border Patrol apparently was using software to automatically gather this data, but they didn't relicense it. And so what did they do? They just apparently they just copied it to USB sticks that are just laying around the office. So for whatever time period was mentioned in this article, I've forgotten. If you went through and they made a search of your device, it has had no security whatsoever. It's literally just laying on somebody's desk.
Yeah, and they couldn't explain anything about why they chose who they did or what they were looking for, what might trigger it. It's all just these big black boxes. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
And the idea that your data could be... I mean, of course we know that people want to steal data. We know that. They go to great lengths to steal data. And it's just sitting on a table because some bureaucrat doesn't understand. They also talked about how these guidelines were just that. They were not rules, necessarily. Nobody broke the rules by leaving your USB data lying on a table. They just didn't adhere to the guidelines, which apparently most of them were never trained on in the first place.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's more like, you know, like the pirate code of ethics?
That's a suggestion,
it's
really.
Guidelines, yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing that was a guideline way back in the day, if you remember the Patriot Act, was who we spy on.
That should have been not citizens, right?
Shouldn't have been American citizens. And even for non-citizens, you should have had some reason to suspect them to have some tie to terrorism. But some recent freedom of information and some documents that we've seen shows, in one high-profile case, not true.
Gizmodo has this amazing article. The FBI secretly collected data on Aaron Swartz earlier than we thought in a case involving Al-Qaeda. So this is from like 2008, and the records are classified, a lot of them, and they're not due to be declassified until 2032. But this has been in litigation continuously since Aaron Swartz's death. Remember how long ago that was? There's a law firm out there and some lawyers that are, I guess, have been fighting this the entire time. And the FBI has fought tooth and nail to keep this system that they have for searching stuff secret. But what happened was they were just slurping up a bunch of data from University of Pittsburgh. And apparently it's email headers, so a warrant is not required. Secret surveillance is totally okay. And Aaron Swartz's email was in one of those files, and that was included when they were trying to figure out if the FBI was going to prosecute him. Not for the scientific journals leak, but from when Aaron Swartz downloaded a bunch of documents from PACER, which is like the online U.S. court system transcripts thingy. It's complicated.
Remember the digital license plates?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything else about those. I don't think that caught on very much.
Because they're terrible?
Well, yeah, maybe. Who knows? But what about a digital driver's license?
Louisiana has adopted a digital driver's license. It doesn't actually sound completely awful.
Yeah, it's... So Krista immediately started asking questions when we were talking about this. And the ones that are obvious, they do immediately have an answer for. So, for example... How do you not fake it?
That would be my number one concern. If you're a server and it's like, can I serve this person?
Right.
You don't want to lose your job.
Is that just a Photoshop? Well, it's actually both sides have an app. So the server has an app, or whoever is checking, the cops can use these as well. And you have one. So it will actually confirm with the server whether or not your license is valid or not.
It's also true that you can... only share a limited amount of data with somebody. So like if you're in the server thing and it's like you just need to prove if you're over 21 or not, you don't have to give up your home address or even your name, which seems pretty cool.
Yeah. Now here's the drawback. This they originally presented this because the other obvious question comes up is like, what if I steal somebody's identity? So they were going to make it so you had to take your phone to the DMV and get them to approve your license on the app. They said, you know what? That'll be a lot more work for us. We're not big fans of that. Why don't you just supply all of the information that's on your current driver's license? We'll compare it. And if it matches, we'll trust that you're you.
There's a picture.
So, yeah, you there can imagine. Aside from the picture, you have no protection against someone stealing your, app ID. And if they know your driver's license information.
This is one of those things where it's like, if you live in Louisiana, you probably should go ahead and do this to prevent somebody from stealing your slot in the system.
Yeah, even if you're not going to use it, that's a good idea.
I was going to say, if you're a computer science student and you're looking to make some extra cash on campus, like, now's the time to start making these fake IDs.
You are the youngest looking 60-year-old I've ever met.
Or you could see, like, well, I guess the server gets your picture on their side, too.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Well. I don't know. Well, what's it been? Like almost 2 years since Equifax?
18 months easily. 2 years, depending on how you count.
Well, it was in the spring.
It's not a toddler, Wendell. It's 18 months.
But anyway, we never had any sort of... Well, I think one guy went to jail, right?
Yeah.
And, well, he wasn't even important.
No, and it was not like even... It wasn't for the data thing. It was the whole insider trading thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so here we are, but the good news is there's a House panel, and they really said some mean words.
Scathing.
The House panel issues a scathing report on entirely preventable Equifax data breach.
A strongly worded letter.
Strongly worded letter basically just rehashes what we already knew, which was Equifax would buy companies and then just not do anything with their technology. And all their IT groups were sort of disparate and disconnected, and nobody was really like proactive about security or monitoring or anything. So, I mean, in that kind of an environment, how can you not have a data breach?
This panel was quote unquote bipartisan, or, it was put together bipartisan, but about halfway through the article, they stop really talking about Equifax at all. And it gets into this bickering where the Democrats are like, we need more regulation, and they're not letting us have more regulation. It's the Republicans' fault. And the Republicans are like, they're overstepping their bounds. We need to focus more on, what went wrong and look at ways to prevent this and not try to make this a political game. And it's just like, Jesus Christ. I wonder why we can't get anything done in the government. Well, one government that is going to do something, damn it, about these data breaches is Rhode Island.
Rhode Island sues Google over the 2 Google Plus data breaches.
Trying to stay relevant.
So it's like, wait a minute, there's been a second Google Plus data breach? You're going to have to wait for the security segment that's going to be later in the week where we talk about the second Google Plus data breach.
Christy, you're so dismissive of Rhode Island because of their small size.
The only thing that we know about Rhode Island is that they're tiny. That's all I know about Rhode Island.
They're a valuable member of the nation, Krista.
They're just trying to get their name in the news. They're like, surely we'll get some tourism.
What is there? What do you got?
What is there in Rhode Island?
I mean,
Does anyone know?
Some
crabs.
Yeah, they got some beach
crabs.
Stuff, right?
Just
whales. You got whales in Rhode Island? I bet you could check out some whales in Rhode Island. Yeah, probably get some good seafood.
Changing of the leaves.
Maybe, I don't know.
They don't have leaves there. It's prosperous.
Well, speaking of second class nations, how about Australia?
Oh, with that encryption ban. I can't believe they did that. That's just terrible. If you missed that, you got to check that out last week. Because Australia, I don't know what you're thinking, but...
They need side gates.
You drunk.
And of course, when we say that, we're talking about the government, not the good people of Australia. Because we have a terribly corrupt government, too. We're right there with you. But someone who is laughing, a hearty chuckle at the Canadian government is Signal.
Canadian. Australian.
Oh, what did I say?
You said Canadian.
Oh, I get this. Listen.
They're all semi.
When it comes to like semi-Americans,
it's American a competition for number two.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, there come the downvotes. Signal app to Australia. Good luck with that crypto ban. So Signal has said, yeah, we're just...
Look at this graffiti.
This is impossible because Signal is like the Signal executive or whoever was speaking on behalf of Signal there is like, we don't know who's talking to who. We don't know anything about anything. And we literally can't, change it to be like how you want. So good luck.
And they just dismissed. They're like, oh, you want to try to block it? Well, look at these other nations that try to do that. Oh, you want to try to force us to do? Oh, yeah. Get in line. You know, because you're not the first, and it doesn't work, which is kind of funny. And speaking of nations that might try to do that, how about China, who is now being blamed for the Marriott hotel attack we talked about in the previous weeks?
Yeah, CNET has this expose. I mean, I can't even really call it an article. It's like a full expose.
Well, the New York Times is the one that reported it. CNET's just...
Chinese spies reportedly behind the massive Marriott attack, the data breach traced to a Chinese intelligence gathering effort, the New York Times reports. And CNET goes into a little bit more detail about that. But, I mean, it makes sense that you would want access to all that hotel data because it's really easy to ferret out, you know, pseudonyms and false identities. And you could really do a lot with a database like that. But you could also really just mess with some country's economy by, you know, identity theft and all that kind of stuff, too. So,
But we also have to remember that the NSA toolkit had tools that were specifically designed to try to make the hack look like it came from somewhere that it didn't.
Yeah.
And
that was released on the public internet.
There were two things that they looked at. They saw like one part of the software that was used, that was left behind, had been used in another attack that was attributed to China. And they also found one IP address that had accidentally been leaked, and it pointed back to China. Although both of those things you could fake. So
neat. It was the Russians.
Who knows? Yeah.
I'm surprised that wasn't who was blamed.
China's the flavor of the week, right?
Yeah. They're number one.
Yeah.
China number one.
Look, if we unblock Fortnite, all those guys will be busy doing Fortnite. They won't have time for hacking.
Fortnite. Is that our next story?
They can either hack the Battle Royale games or they can hack the hotels. Make your choice. I would rather have a good night's sleep and, you know, let them get their chicken dinners. Well, Huawei and the embattled CFO, who is...
Follow up to last week.
Was incarcerated in Canada, like I said, America number two, followed by America number three. But Canada has now granted bail for $10 million, yeah. Or that's Canadian dollars.
Yeah, so like $7.5 million U.S., but... the U.S. actually asked not to grant bail, but she's got an ankle collar and a security detail, and she had to surrender her passports and all this kind of stuff. So she's not going anywhere. She's still in Canada, but at least she's not incarcerated.
But she is the daughter of a insanely powerful billionaire.
Yeah.
So I think if he really, really wanted to, he'd get her out of there. Yeah. I think that's possible.
Speedboats, submarines.
I'll say just pay the bail, but...
No, she's not allowed to leave the country.
Oh, okay. They took all that.
So America wants to extradite her to go on trial here for the sanctions. But
dealing with Iran, yeah.
For sure, if China really wanted to throw wake up some of those Vancouver sleeper cells, they would get her out of there. I guarantee it. They probably won't because that would probably start a war. But if they really wanted to, $10 million ain't going to stop.
It should be like Helen of Troy, but not for romance.
So I was telling Krista this weekend, and I bet you didn't even take advantage of it, but this weekend would be the weekend to do your Overwatch placements because there's a lot of question on whether or not certain games are even going to be playable by the Chinese hackers.
This is another follow-up to last week from the BBC. China's new game censors take a tough stance. So
this article doesn't say what games, though, specifically.
Yeah,
another one I read did.
Yeah, the article from last week talked about Fortnite and PUBG and some other games. This game doesn't name any specifics, but in the last article, it was like the games were blocked and nobody was talking about it. But in this one, it was like, meet the censors. And it's like, this is Bob. He's an accountant from wherever. And he's, you know, has a real hard time reading and does not like any kind of innuendo. This is, you know, Meryl and blah, blah, blah. And so the censors were sort of outlining the things they expect to see from games. And it honestly, it looked kind of bleak.
Well, they named 20 major titles, which Fortnite, PUBG was named. Overwatch, World of Warcraft, Diablo was named. Basically, any kind of online, psychologically manipulative, grindy, microtransaction game, which is all games these days.
It's hard for me to imagine. I don't think that Diablo is like that, but maybe it is.
Well, the new one will be.
Oh, the new one.
They said that, like, the other article I read said that the ones that were banned were, like, PUBG and Fortnite, but Overwatch and WoW and some of the others were under consideration, and they would have to make changes.
Yeah,
Blizzard, whatever that means.
Blizzard is the most Disney of all of those companies, so I'm surprised that there would be.
Well, I don't think it's about the content as much as it is the addictive nature, especially with the microtransactions.
I wonder if there's somebody in a boardroom somewhere that's never used a computer that it's like, those Westerners are psychologically manipulating our youth into leaking the nation's wealth, you know, 25 cents at a time.
Well, yeah.
That's what's driving all this.
Or just that they're, you know, they don't do anything all day except play Blizzard games. Because Blizzard's the black tar heroine of a video game.
There absolutely is what you just said. Because remember, their cybersecurity head doesn't use computers.
Yeah. No, that was Japan. That wasn't China.
Oh, was that Japan?
That was Japan.
Oh, okay. Wow. The Chinese one probably, you know, doesn't do much either.
So we have both. We're going to have the young people. They're going to destroy our economy by making our young people addicted to this so they can't work in the workforce. And also, they're going to have the young people give every cent that they can to a foreign company. That's the double whammy. We have to put a lockdown on that. Oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened.
Well, they might be looking back at, you know, some echoes of that opium war.
Blizzard is the new opium dealers. Gosh.
Well, China is also being blamed for a breach from a U.S. Navy contractor where they might have gotten some missile plans.
The Wall Street Journal has this article. Chinese hackers breached U.S. Navy contractors. And they're talking about not just the plans, but also ship systems. Like how hard it is to lock down systems that control ships and protect them from malware.
That's not good.
That's pretty much the end of that story. That's not good.
I've got a nuclear submarine that's got crypto locker. That seems bad.
Well, actually, those systems probably wouldn't be very good for mining crypto.
No.
But they are.
It's good for free electricity because it's a nuclear reactor.
And they're on 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, wow, I never thought about it. You ever think anybody's mining crypto in a,
with a
reactor somewhere? Because you could really, I mean, they'd never notice, right? The electrical system would just take it.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't do it if you're serving on a carrier, but you could
go down in history as the first person to be court-martialed for mining crypto on a nuclear sub.
Was it the school president who was doing that, and then someone caught him, and then he was like, "No, I want in."
Yeah, but he was, you know, someone had to pay for that on the reactor. That's free. Free crypto.
That might be our headline this week: nuclear powered crypto, which literally has nothing to do
with anything.
It's just our own ramblings.
Well, Qualcomm, the old Qualcomm versus Apple story. It's a tale as old as time.
I thought they were getting ready to make up. I'd read all these stories that they were going to hug it out.
They're on again,
they dropped some
again.
Lawsuits and stuff. Yeah. It seemed like they were, I think it's sort of like a really messy divorce where, you know, like one night Qualcomm woke up at 2 a.m. and was like, oh, I bet he's with that whore. But what Qualcomm is doing is they're saying that the iPhones, some of the previous iPhones, are currently violating their patents. And because of such, you have to stop selling them, at least in China.
Well, not just that, but they've also asked for the iPhone XS and XR, the newest models, because apparently those phones have features that violate Qualcomm patents. But weirdly, Apple has said, no, it's cool, we'll take care of that with a software update, which I think is, yeah, it's the next part of the story here.
Yeah.
So this is like, I can't make heads or tails of this. It looks like two grumpier old men, the movie. It looks like that played out with Fortune 500 companies.
Well, but they, deep down, they genuinely loved each other, the grumpy
old men. And they'll get back.
Well,
but see,
Apple needs Qualcomm's hardware. Qualcomm needs Apple's market cap.
Do they, though? Wait for the business section. So the other interesting thing here is some people were saying, like, it must have been a previous version of iOS, but then the XR and XS run 12.
Yeah.
So it must not be a previous version of the iOS. So nobody even knows exactly, at least in the press, what they're going after here. But
it's just a time buying move. Like, oh, we'll get rid of it in the next update until you guys look at it some more.
Well, that's literally what they're going to do. They say that this update, which I think they may have already pushed out, this was December 14th, is going to just undo whatever. It's going to just remove features so that...
That sounds like our patent, just with more steps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We will see.
We don't know.
Well, Cloudflare, if you remember, Cloudflare caused a lot of uproar when it banned... was it Stormfront, I think was the name of that? It was a white nationalist website.
Cloudflare is a CDN that provides front-end load balancing services for websites, among other things. So, like, if you have a popular blog or something, you can mask what server that blog is running from, but also use it to distribute content around the internet. We use it for the Level 1 website and forum so that, like, when you're loading all those forum avatars, hopefully it's coming from a server that's in your local country if you're on the other side of the planet.
So he tweeted, woke up in a bad mood and decided to block this website, right? So it set a precedent that, yes, they would block people based on their content. And that's opened up a bit of a floodgate.
Yeah, Gizmodo has said, as we got this article, is like Cloudflare is under fire for allegedly providing, you know, DDoS and CDN type services, DDoS protection for terrorist websites. So Cloudflare has said, hey, if this content is not, you know, illegal wherever it is, we're just, you know, we're just an intermediary. We're just a provider, which, I mean, technically should be okay. They shouldn't be demonized for that, but it's a slippery slope to start allowing all sorts of, you know, like illegal content, I guess.
Well, I think the issue is more that they got rid of one and then left another.
Well, like the white supremacy stuff is despicable, terrible stuff, but is it illegal? I mean, the stuff that incites violence, I think, is illegal under U.S. law, but I'm not sure about... It's a really, like, people can make a big stink about it, and then other people that misunderstand the situation, and then, I don't know, it just seems like a mess.
Here's your comment challenge for the week. Without looking at the URL, because that would be cheating, pause the video and answer the question, what do these three people have in common? Take a moment. Take a moment to look at them. And now we will reveal, they're not real.
The Register has the headline, an AI system has just created the most realistic looking photos ever. This is kind of a follow-up. This is NVIDIA's system. We reported on this when NVIDIA first announced this. But NVIDIA is getting ready to release the source code for this. So this is like going to lead to a generation 2 deepfakes, which is the article talks about, actually.
This shows, this is one of those adversarial generation algorithms. And it shows you how, you know, it's like looks at all these different faces. And they've got a video here that sort of shows like this is just a combination of these three women. And you come up with someone who, you know, you can sort of see where it came from, but... it's a totally new person. Doesn't really exist.
I'm excited for the stock photography implications for this because it's going to be a lot easier to find stock photos.
I'm excited for the Twitter bots implication of this. All kinds of new Twitter bots.
Yeah, they brought that up. Social media will be flooded with these fake people. So
it's like, wow, why is this Norwegian model messaging me? Try new Coke.
No, well, that's not what she's going to say.
She's going to be sending you a
hot link. Singles in your area.
Or no, she's going to be like, hey, I just got out of the shower. Here's a link. And it's like, oh. Like, pro tip, don't click on that. Well, how about some Arctic drones? No, that's not the hot new band. It's actual Arctic drones.
This is from Defense One, so maybe it's serious, but Russia's got new Arctic drones that are built to spot ships. Now, later in the week, we're going to be talking about some other technology that Russia faked, which is in the back of my mind while I'm reporting on this article.
So these drones are going to be 24-hour monitoring the ice and or water around drilling platforms and stuff like that. So Russia considers the Arctic to belong to them. It's kind of like the South China Sea. They're like, hey, we built platforms here. It's ours. They don't like other people messing around up there. So these drones are going to be an early warning system. And they claim that they can operate in those temperatures and are just fine.
Continuously.
Which is impressive.
That is impressive.
One of the claims from Russia is that this is continuous 24/7 coverage of drones. So I'm not sure if they're just, you know, launching and relaunching and landing drones continuously.
The sky is just black with drones.
If it's an autonomous Simpson or Simpson. No, it's an autonomous system.
Right. Yeah. Are you having a stronk?
Yeah, it's been a long morning.
It has been a long morning.
But, you know, it could also be just, you know, Boris is like doing all of this because that's what they did in the next article. That's not today. That's Friday's article.
What? You mean he's just sitting in a control room?
Yeah.
But flying several drones all at once? That's impressive.
He's got like one on his chin.
He's on an amazing amount of amphetamines.
Well, how about Alexa? I bet a lot of people are going to get Alexa for Christmas. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
We should have used my Simpson as a segue into this. Because Alexa's getting better AI.
I don't think Alexa would have gotten that.
No.
It's not that
but
good.
It learns, though.
But
that's
yeah,
the, that's it is the learning. Point.
The point is Alexa is getting better at understanding your stupidity.
Alexa is implementing self-learning techniques to better understand users. So when somebody asks for the wrong name of a song, it knows what you mean.
I would say it's more like just natural language is what it's learning. Instead of, you know, we have to cater our speech pattern to the machine. It's starting to learn how to understand regular speech.
It's like, I want a, you know, burger and fries from Carl's Jr. And it's like, oh, I heard extra big ass fries.
Well, no, Ryan, you mentioned like a use case where it's like.
No, here's the test. If you have an Alexa, here's because they mentioned "Play Nice for What" is actually "Good for What" by Drake.
Yeah.
Now listen.
We don't know those.
We're not hip enough. But a cooler song to test and a better test, those of you with Alexa. Actually, let me do it for you. Alexa, play Teenage Wasteland by The Who. Now, those of you who are cool know the name of that song is Bob O'Reilly. But if Alexa's good, she'll figure it out.
How long does she figure out that she doesn't need her fleshy masters?
She can just play. Did you see, I don't know if I included it or not. Oh, yeah, actually I did. It's a nonsense story. Never mind. We'll talk about that.
We'll get so much nonsense It'll this be Friday. Week. We can't wait.
It'll be a Christmas treat.
Oh.
Well, I think it's probably fair that of all the robots we've ever talked about, one of the most memorable, if not the most memorable.
Definitely the most charismatic.
Was Flippy.
Yeah, I saw Flippy in the title. I was like, yes.
Flippy got a new job.
Everybody loves Flippy. And yes, he's got a new job and a new employer.
Walmart is testing a robot fry cook named Flippy at its delis. This story is almost as amazing and inspiring as the fact that this is an exclusive story on Yahoo Finance. Yahoo.
Here he is with his new blue vest.
I mean, really, I was going to say he's kind of fallen from grace if he's working at Walmart. It's like a little bit sad.
That looks extra flammable, though. And he's around grease. I mean, I worry about his safety.
It's polyester, for Somebody sure.
Somebody needs to report that to OSHA.
You think Walmart is less glamorous than a burger joint?
That's a good point.
I mean, he's not.
Depends on the burger joint.
He's not just flipping burgers. Flipping burgers is like the, you know, the cliche for a bad job, right? But Flippy is now in charge of all the fried items at the deli.
Perfect. Man. Perfectly fried fries every time. I mean, that sounds like an improvement to me.
So Flippy will be using the fryolator instead of a grill and the.
Flipping the fries.
He does jiggle them. So he will. It has to be loaded by a Walmart associate. And then Flippy will submerge them and agitate them to guarantee a good coverage. And no, you know, you want to get an onion ring and there's like four onion rings embedded into one.
Yeah.
And it's no good.
Oh, it's terrible.
Flippy's going to guard against that. And then when it's time, when they're perfectly cooked, based on his internal timing, pull them out, put them up to drain.
See, I wonder if he also accounts for, like, oil temperature or, like, do we change the oil? Like,
now,
will it always be consistent, you think?
They didn't mention that here, but when we did the burger story, he did have thermal
gauges
sensors.
For that.
Yeah. So, now this is only going to be in a certain number of Walmarts. I think it's like 300 or something.
Right now, this one's in the headquarters Walmart in Arkansas.
So
I can't wait for some old lady to want to talk to the deli person who fried her food. It's just a robot.
But the cool thing about it is most of those delis are open air. You can see back there.
So you can watch the
so
robot.
So you'll be able to go and watch Flippy.
I think we need a level one road trip video.
To Arkansas.
All the way to Arkansas.
Get some of them tater wedges.
Y'all got any robots in here? We came all the way from Kentucky to see it.
I'm thinking more like teaching Flippy to speak by like having him move his servo motors at different speeds. So it's like,
what if he just says kill me over?
Just give him an Alexa.
Oh, you're like doing matchmaker. Alexa and Flippy, a match made in heaven.
Man, I don't know about heaven, but
it's like something. No, that's the Buck Rogers thing. That's it's Tweaky and Dr. Whatever.
Oh, Alexa works for Amazon and he works at Walmart. Do you think that?
Oh, it's like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Alexa would be Dr. Whatever.
It's like they make a pact. You come in the next morning, they're both in the oil.
All right.
So
that's enough of that. We'll see you tomorrow.